Well, happy Sabbath, everyone. It's so great to see everyone today. The last couple weeks have been a little rough. We missed last week, and of course, we missed you all. But it's great to see everyone made it here safely today. Brethren, the title of today's message is Courage and Conviction. Courage and Conviction. Why don't you ought to imagine, if you will, a woman living in the quiet town of Canterbury, Connecticut, way back in the early 1830s. This woman did not have independent wealth. Instead, she forged a future through her sheer dedication and an exceptional ability to teach and educate young women. It was for this reason the town's leaders admired this woman, and they invited her to open up a formal school that she could use to educate their daughters. At the time, women did not have many options to attain a higher education. And so this woman took a massive risk, saving her earnings, taking out a large mortgage, and buying a large house in the center of town that served as the school. The school was so successful that in 1 year she was able to pay off the mortgage, which is pretty impressive, even by today's standards. This woman was a pillar of the community, respected neighbor, and a successful woman by all accounts. But here's where the story takes a turn for the worse. This woman's amazing success would eventually succumb to the prejudices of those around her. The people were okay with this woman educating their own daughters, but the moment she admitted a woman of color into the classroom, the community's neighborly love evaporated. They didn't just protest. They tried to starve her out. The local shops refused to sell her groceries. The doctors refused to treat her and her students. Her very own church told her she was no longer welcome. When they realized that she would not budge, they took it to the next level. They took manure and garbage and dumped it into the very source of fresh water, poisoning her well, the well that supplied her house and the school. And so basically, in today's vernacular, this woman was being canceled by the society that she lived in. Her so-called neighbors wanted to make it impossible for her school to survive. Since depriving her of food and water was not enough to sway her, they eventually had her arrested and jailed for violating Connecticut's black laws. And these are laws that were made specifically for this woman, with the sole purpose of forcing her to stop teaching people of color. And through all these challenges, this woman showed remarkable courage and an unwavering conviction, which empowered her to act with integrity. And when confronted by personal hardship, she refused to budge. Brethren, it's notable that this woman who faced persecution, was forced to close her school and leave the state, would eventually become recognized as the official state heroine of Connecticut. In 1995, they gave her that honor. The woman's name is Prudence Crandall. It's a name that we should all be familiar with because over the last few months, this congregation has been collecting supplies for the Prudence Crandall Center as part of a community service project started by Ariana and Josh, which has been great. And so today, after services, we will be assembling welcome baskets and making donations to support the mission of the Prudence Crandall Center, which remains focused on helping women and families that are struggling with domestic violence. Brethren, after reading the story of Prudence Crandall, I wanted to reflect on her courage and conviction and consider how we too are encouraged to embody these traits in our service to God and our communities. Which brings us to the first point that I want to make here. We must beware of favoritism. Beware of favoritism. Prudence Crandall recognized her students as unique individuals with incredible human potential. She followed the Christian belief that every person is made in the image of God and that we are all called to love our neighbors as we love ourselves, which applies to everyone. However, society often judges people with partiality, favoring wealth or looks or race. We see it all around us, in our homes, in our families, in the workplace. It's a clash between worldviews that has troubled the early church, and it's led to the persecution of Prudence. But it is a problem that continues to this day. And this is a sin the Apostle James warns us about in James chapter 2 and verse 1. Let's turn to James chapter 2 and verse 1 for our first scripture of the day. James 2, 1. By reading these words, it's clear that even in a church, it was something that was happening. And James made it very clear here. In James 2, 1, it says, "My brethren, do not hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with partiality. For if there should come into your assembly a man with gold rings and fine apparel, and there should also come in a poor man in filthy clothes, and you pay attention to the one wearing the fine clothes and say to him, 'You sit here in this good place,' and say to the poor man, 'You stand there,' or 'Sit here at my footstool,' have you not shown partiality among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts?" Brethren, James goes on in these scriptures to explain that partiality is a sin that contradicts the very gospel. Favoritism creates division, and it shows contempt for people who are perceived to be different instead of reflecting God's impartial love. Prudence practiced this truth with courage and conviction, choosing to live God's way. She risked her career, her wealth, and her life to teach others, to help them grow. Not willing to bend on her conviction, she chose the way of give. While the townspeople were consumed with the way of the world, attempting to get their way through intimidation, coercion, and even force, they chose the way of get. When we truly believe that every person is made in the image of God, we are compelled to love them as ourselves. This love leaves no room for partiality or favoritism. Instead, it calls us to treat everyone with dignity, respect, and compassion. Just as Prudence Crandall did, even when it was costly to her, she stood firm in adversity. Which brings me to the second point. We are called to stand firm in adversity, no matter what the challenges are. When Prudence Crandall's well was poisoned and her access to food was blocked, the town was trying to literally cancel her, cutting off her ability to survive. In that moment of crisis and injustice, she faced overwhelming pressure to give up her mission and abandon her students. But she stood firm in her adversity. Brethren, and though this story takes place over two centuries ago, we can see the same spirit in the world today. Scriptures do not hide the fact that following God will be incredibly hard at times. It warns us of times when even our families and communities will feel like battlegrounds. But within the warnings, there is a profound call to character. The call to remain firm in our love, to keep our integrity when deception is all around us. And to realize that our greatest witness isn't what we say, but how we stand when everyone else is walking away. The Apostle Paul's words in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, you can start turning there, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, offers us some guidance for such times like this. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13. I love reading Paul's words because he's so blunt at times. Straight to the point. In 1 Corinthians 16, 13, the Apostle Paul tells us very simply, "Watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong, and let all that you do be done with love." Is this not the example that Prudence gives us here today? Brethren, to stand fast means to remain stationary and immovable. While the external forces of society and our families and friends press up against us, challenging God's truth, we are called to stand fast and strong in faith. For Prudence, these words became very real. As the community tried to destroy her, she stood fast in her faith, anchored in the truth and guided by God's law of love. Prudence Crandall's courage was rooted in her conviction. She saw value in every person. Because she was anchored in that truth, she could not be pushed. Brethren, the story of Prudence Crandall is a living lesson for each of us. When she faced hostility, isolation, and even threats to her basic survival, she did not waver. Her courage was anchored in God's truth. So likewise, for us today, we must be anchored in God's truth, ready to stand firm in our moment of adversity, because we know those moments come, and we need to be prepared. Which brings me to the third point. We obey a higher authority. We obey a higher authority. When the town's persecution did not silence Prudence Crandall, they went to the state of Connecticut and passed these black laws, which I mentioned earlier, to make her service illegal. She was arrested and jailed for obeying her conscience and serving those in need. Brethren, God commands us that we strive to be law-abiding citizens. But we are also hold to the principle found in Acts 5, which says, we ought to obey God rather than men. When human laws require, or violate the law of God, our path is clear. We must follow God's higher authority. Prudence understood that a law that is designed to enforce hatred was in direct conflict with God's commands of love. She was submissive to the highest authority of all, reminding us that our primary citizenship is in the kingdom of God, not here on earth. But how was she able to endure such adversity? The answer lies in the biblical command to be courageous in Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. Let's turn to our final scripture for this message. Joshua 1, verse 9. Joshua 1, verse 9. These scriptures are so important for us to remember when we find ourselves in moments of adversity. Joshua 1, verse 9 says, have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Brethren, courage is the ability to stay on the path without turning to the left or to the right, even when the way is difficult. Prudence Crandall stayed peaceful. She continued as a teacher, and she remained firm to the truth until violence against her students first forced her to close the school. On the surface, it looked like defeat. But character is not measured by immediate victory. It is measured by the faithfulness to God's calling. Prudence's courage lit a fire that eventually helped end segregation, not just in Connecticut, but across America. Her legacy still endures through the Prudence Crandall Center, which continues to serve those facing adversity today. And so as a congregation, we are called to obey God above all and to be strong and courageous in the face of adversity. When we stand for truth and love, even when it's costly, we reflect the heart of Christ and carry forward the legacy of those who have stood before us. We choose to obey a higher authority. And so, brethren, as we reflect on the life of and legacy of Prudence Crandall, let us remember the powerful lessons her story teaches us. First, we must beware of favoritism, recognizing that everyone is made in the image of God and worthy of dignity and respect. We must love our neighbor as ourselves without partiality or division. This is the way of Christ and the solution to true peace and unity. The second is that we must stand firm in adversity. When challenges come, whether from the world or from within, we are called to anchor our courage in God's truth and His word, recognizing that our greatest witness is not just in what we say, but in how we stand when it matters. And finally, brethren, we are reminded to obey the higher authority. When human laws or life's pressures conflict with God's command to love, our path is clear. We follow God. And so, brethren, as we continue our journey, let us love without favoritism, Stand firm in adversity, and always obey God above all. Let us continue to love with conviction and courage.